The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Oh, there goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to Dave's Gone By. Music, talk radio, and comedy. We do it every week, have been doing it since October 2002, and we continue to do it thanks to the auspices of WGBB AM 1240 in Freeport, with live audio web streaming at am1240wgbb.com, and through the grace, good taste, and money of our sponsors, Hewlett Minuteman Press, for all your copying and printing needs, Quiznos of Hewlett, for all your eating desires, and TotalTheater.com, for all your questions about Broadway and beyond. It is Thursday, September 30th, 2004. Happy Sukkot to all my Jewish listeners, happy autumn to everyone else, and happy music tonight on Dave's Gone By. A month ago, I had a great thrill and honor to interview a living legend of modern folk music, a man who has been writing and singing song after good song going on 41 years now. He's the one and only Tom Paxton, and we had a delightful conversation about his early years and how he can tell a good song from a bad one and what it's like to keep being a recording artist and a live performer four decades after you've begun. And I'm proud to say the interview went really well, as I hope you heard back on September 2nd. If you don't believe me, you can buy a copy of that program on CD and listen for yourself. More on that anon. But because I played a lot of music and I had other segments to get to, I was only able to fit less than half of the conversation onto the show, which really didn't do the interview justice. And I wanted to do part two the following week, and I had already booked another interview, and then I was off a week for Rosh Hashanah. And then last week, Rabbi Saul Solomon filled in for me and did that terrific interview with cabaret singer Dottie Berman. So this is the first week I can finally go back and play you more of my talk with the great Tom Paxton. And I will play a little more of his music, of course. In fact, I was lucky enough to hear his music in a live gig at Joe's Pub 3 weeks ago. He did nearly a two-hour set accompanied by Eric Weisberg on banjo and pedal steel. And as Paxton had said on my show, his live set makes sure to include the classics everyone expects, like Last Thing on My Mind and Rambling Boy, plus songs from his most recent album, Looking for the Moon, on Appleseed Records, and short shelf life songs, short ditties written a la Mark Russell or Tom Lehrer, to goof on news events and politicians worth skewering. After the performance, Tom signed CDs, including mine, and he proved as affable and gracious offstage as he was on and on the air with me. So tonight, a continuation of my very special chat with Tom Paxton, plus Inside Broadway, our weekly look at what's new and exciting in New York theater, and this week, something old and exciting, a revival of a critically acclaimed 1971 musical by Melvin Van Peebles. And then, also tonight, in this jam-packed episode, the return of the News Gone By. A look at current events from a Daily Show meets Harry Shearer meets Weekend Update point of view. Bunch of stories tonight about nasty stuff coming out of people's mouths. Gum from Britney Spears, words from Jimmy Swaggart, and halitosis from cell phone users. So stick around for the News Gone By in just a minute or two, after I remind you that this episode is rated DGB-13, the Dave's Gone By equivalent of the movie's PG-13. Actually, this episode is closer to DGB-PG. It's pretty tame, but if I suddenly develop Tourette's and start cursing in Portuguese, I'm covered. And we will cover the news story of the week with the News Gone By right after this.
Oh, my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful. Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yep. 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling. Let's go.
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her.
Wake up the global village!
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. On this Thursday, September 30th, 2004, it is time for the News Gone By, a look at events of the past week from a Pax Vobici perspective. We begin with religious idiot news. Televangelist Jimmy Swaggart, yes, he's still around, and he got into some hot water last week when he said on his TV show that he would kill any homosexual who looked at him romantically. Here's the actual quote. Sorry about the low fidelity. This is a real audio clip from the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Swaggart is talking about gay marriage, which, surprise, he's against. And he says,
I got amazed. I can't look at him without 10 seconds. But these politicians dancing around this, I'm trying to find a correct name for it, this utter, absolute, asinine, idiotic stupidity of men marrying men. I've never seen a man in my life I want to marry.
And there was much rejoicing. What's with the heavy breathing, too? Is it like he's so head up, talking about gay guys giving him the eye, he can't keep his Bible in his pants? And if you couldn't hear the words, I'll read the quote again. Jimmy Swaggart said, I've never seen a man in my life I wanted to marry. And I'm going to be blunt and plain. If one ever looks at me like that, I'm going to kill him and tell God he died, unquote. Unkind letters from gay groups followed, as you can imagine. They forced Jimmy Swaggart to come out and explain, well, not come out, but just explain, that the phrase killing someone and telling God he died is actually a regional colloquialism he uses all the time, which makes me want to go back to the 12,000 TV shows he's done and see if he's ever used it once in any other context. But I do believe him. I'm sure the phrase is kind of like losing my religion or bite my ass and call me Charlie. And I believe Swaggart that he wasn't being literal. He didn't mean that the next queer who made goo-goo eyes at him, as if, would get a bullet through the eyes. But still, it's a pretty effed up thing to say during a church service. And what the hell is an abomination anyway? An abomination? I guess the Palestinians, you know, because they make all those bombs in their nation. Anyway, Swaggart was forced to offer a half-hearted apology, to which one human rights leader responded, quote, apologies don't discourage violence, action does, and Swaggart's language only encourages an environment where hate crimes occur, unquote. And remember, this is the same dirtbag back in the late 80s who cheated on his wife and did that big, I have sinned against you speech, and he spent the previous years bringing down other televangelists for their infidelities, like Jim Baker and Marvin Gorman. So Gorman turned around and nailed Swaggart for screwing prostitutes. Actually, he tried blackmailing Swaggart first, but Jimmy was too cheap to pay up, so Gorman spilled the beans to the media. And then Swaggart confessed his sin to all the world, cried like a baby, begged forgiveness, and 2 years later, he was pulled over by the cops for driving on the wrong side of the road with a whore in the passenger seat. Now, I think Jimmy's deep-seated fear of homos can stem from one of only two things. 1. Inside every porn-addicted, hooker-stooping televangelist, there's a flower-arranging, sailor-filleting, sissy boy screaming to get out. Or 2. Swaggered sounds a little too much like faggot for any 10-year-old to get through junior high school without getting his ass kicked. Or kissed. I'm not casting aspersions on anybody, but watch next time Jimmy Swaggart looks at Jesus on the cross. Is it me? Or is he really just trying to steal a peek under the Savior's blood-soaked loincloth? Speaking of which, freak accident last week on the main square of San Onofrio, Italy. A 67-year-old woman was killed when a giant metal crucifix fell off a building onto her. A nearby priest said, "Well, it's sad, but it does give new meaning to the phrase, cross my heart and hope to die." In celebrity news, gone are the days when A.J. Weberman used to go through Bob Dylan's trash, looking for discarded lyrics and clues to his genius. But famous people are still fair game for garbage collectors everywhere. A couple of weeks ago, I told you about a guy trying to sell, on eBay, a cough drop half-eaten by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now, according to the Associated Press, a bunch of people are on the website selling used chewing gum spat out by compulsive gum chewer Britney Spears. People would be, like, backstage at her concerts or videotapings and grab the gum after she jettisoned it. Now, the Spears Spearmint is considered a collectible. One seller is asking $26 for a wad he found outside her Los Angeles home. Another is asking $53 for a piece he found at a concert in Wembley Stadium. Yet another wants $1,000 and he challenges buyers to put the gum through a DNA test to prove it belonged to Spears. Asked if it was rather unsanitary to be auctioning Britney's pre-chewed gum, an eBay spokesman said, "You know, we checked, and of all the things Britney's put in her mouth in the last 5 years, gum was the cleanest." In nutritional news, according to a survey by the California Milk Advisory Board, Americans are eating more cheese than ever. In 2003, our fellow countrymen gobbled 8.8 billion pounds of cheese, more than 30 pounds per person per year. Experts say the increase comes from Americans doing more traveling, they're tasting delicacies abroad, and then wanting to buy them back home. They also say cheese became cheaper to produce since the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan. After all, suddenly, there was a huge influx of curds. Yes! Yes! Yes, it's been weeks since we've heard that sound, but the dairy cow has found her way home and brought with her the comedy bell. The bell that signals that Dave's gone by. Bad pun of the week. You remember, we ring the bell whenever we make a play on words, so not Gouda, so Mozza wretched, so monstrous, that we ring this bell to say, "Oh, how I love cheeses. Havarti, I'm fine. How about you?" Oh, the comedy bell is working overtime this week to remind you that Dave's Gone By doesn't live on cheese alone. And I'll be honest, begging for money drives me crackers, but I gotta do it. Gotta ask for your ads, your financial contributions to keep Dave's Gone By going. Our 100th episode is coming up in just a couple of weeks. Barring catastrophes, the first Thursday of November will mark show number 100. And between this week and next starts our second year on the air. Dave's Gone By premiered October 6, 2002, and since then we've had wonderful guests like Karen Grassley and Art Paul Schlosser and Todd Robbins and, of course, Tom Paxton. We've done sketches, comic monologues, serious conversations. I know a lot of people were surprised and touched by the interview with firefighter Al Fuentes a couple of weeks ago, and also the recurring features like the World Weird Web and Inside Broadway for theater lovers, and of course, the news gone by. People look forward to this program, and they remember the advertisers and sponsors who help keep it going. Brand identity is a powerful thing, If you link up your product, event, or service with Dave's Gone By, the long-term rewards for your business can't be beat. Prices for half a minute or 60-second ads are downright cheap, especially considering the Long Island reach of this radio station. Not to mention that people listen to Dave's Gone By live all over the world via the Internet. So, whether you have a local restaurant or a travel agency halfway across the country, this is the place to get your message out to my listeners. If they hear your ad week after week and they like and believe what you have to offer, they'll come to you when they need that pair of shoes or that sink unclogged or that wheel of stinky cheese. 516-295-1511 is the number to call. 516-295-1511 to advertise on this program. You can see the rate card at davesgoneby.com or email us directly, davesgoneby@aol.com, with any questions you have. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby@aol.com. You can even make it a fait accompli and sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good, be punderful. Hey, speaking of stinky cheese and other odoriferous things, the latest wrinkle in cell phone technology is smell phone technology. Reuters reports that a German telecommunications company has developed the first mobile phone that alerts users when their breath is bad. That's right, a microchip in the receiver can detect both halitosis and offensive body odor. The phones are being fine-tuned at the moment, as they do have a rather cruel way of alerting the user to his or her problem. Apparently, the phone goes directly to a busy signal, beeps three times, and then a voice says, "If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and take the phone out of your ass." Finally, in media news, CBS TV was forced to pay a record fine, more than $500,000, for the Super Bowl wardrobe malfunction that exposed Janet Jackson's right boob. No word yet on how much CBS will have to cough up for exposing a butthole on 60 Minutes. Then again, Dan Rather can probably pay the fine himself. And that's the news gone by for September 30th, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and blue-veined cheese to Dave's Gone By. P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also email me, davesgoneby@aol.com. davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read your comments on the air, name withheld upon request, so send me your thoughts, your gifts, your free product samples, but please, no gum chewed by a 22-year-old Britney Spears. I liked it better when she was a dentine. Back with Inside Broadway after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
I need more Dave. Oh, I hear that all the time. Once a week is not enough, but you can get all the Dave you want on CD. Dozens of complete episodes, just $14 per disc, shipping and handling included. And one more dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By CDs come with jewel cases, photos, liner notes, makes a great gift. So for more info, check our website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list. Thanks, Dave! Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. There are old-fashioned musicals, and there are newfangled musicals, and then there's Melvin Van Peebles. From the beginning, he was a Renaissance man, writing novels in French and then debuting in Belgium with his first musical, Harlem Party. He made his first major movie in 1968 with La Permission, the story of a three-day pass, followed by his first album, Rare Soul. After that, he'd go from music to movies to television to theater, and it was easy for him since he had secured his place in film history with the enraged, streetwise, and highly influential Sweet Sweetback's badass song. And that same year, 1971, brought Melvin Van to Broadway with Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death, which is about as telling a title as you're going to get. Remember, it was the early 70s, post-Hair, with an explosion of black theater, gay theater, even experimental theater on Broadway. The wild years didn't last very long because most of the shows failed, artistically and commercially. Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death was a commercial disappointment, but it wasn't a loser for critics, who nominated the show for 7 Tony Awards, including Best Book and Score. Whereas the movie Sweet Sweetback is now hailed as the granddaddy of blaxploitation cinema for its grit and anti-white revenge motif, Ain't Supposed to Die is an even edgier slice of life. Classical Theater of Harlem is reviving the show, and here's what their press release says about it. Quote, a gutsy, lusty narrative of black street life that explores every aspect of ghetto agony. Junkies, whores, pimps, lesbians, drag queens, sweating workers, crooked cops, prisoners, lovers, and dreamers. Ain't Supposed to Die a Natural Death is considered a tradition-shattering and trend-setting work. Unquote. Certainly, the influence of the show can be felt on everything from the angry rap of Public Enemy and N.W.A. to the mournful choreo poems of Enfizaki Shange. No, this is not Rodgers and Hammerstein here, or even Rado and Ragney. Song titles in Ain't Supposed to Die include Come Raisin' Your Leg on Me, Lily Dung the Zampoogie Every Time I Pulled Her Coattail, and Put a Curse on You. Oh, just a side note about that last song. When I was in NYU film school, we were all making little 16mm movies, short silent films with music backing them. Kind of like music videos, just when that era was dawning. And one black student did an urban, angry, annoying experimental thing, using Put a Curse on You as the soundtrack. I had never heard rap or this kind of spiky, non-melodic, aggressive, seemingly non-musical music before. And I remember another student turned to me and whispered, I put a curse on this film. And we both had a nasty little laugh. It took years later, after my exposure to more kinds of sounds and musical styles, to approach Van Peebles' stuff again and go, whoa, there's a musical aesthetic there. Not something I'd listen to all the time, but in context, this is street music full of vigor, despair, and fury. And it's back on stage, as I said, at the Classical Theater of Harlem, directed by the theater's artistic director, Alfred Preisser. The only name in the cast you might recognize is Ralph Carter. Ring a bell? Really appropriate casting, if you think about it, because Carter played Michael, the militant younger brother of J.J. and Wallona on TV's Good Times. Carter's grown up now and appearing in Ain't Supposed to Die, A Natural Death, opening October 1st for a run-through Halloween uptown at the Classical Theater of Harlem, 141st Street and St. Nicholas Avenue. Will the show have good times, or will critics sing it a badass song? The best way to find out is reading Performing Arts Insider Theater magazine. Everything about off-Broadway, Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance, Performing Arts Insider. They stuff nearly 50 pages with facts and figures and insights and the excitement of Broadway. Call 516-295-1511 or visit TotalTheater.com. Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off their monthly subscriptions, or if you just want the latest issue, call 516-295-1511 and order it for $10, nearly a third off the regular price. But at any price, it's the best theater magazine around. Performing Arts Insider. Finishing up Inside Broadway for this week, we have an Amber Alert of sorts. Broadway's Hairspray has a new Amber Von Tussle. She is the prissy young villain of the piece, and Jordan Ballard takes over the role from Tracy Jai Edwards this coming Tuesday. Also new in the show on that date, Bruce Valanche, the portly Munchkin-like comedy writer. He's got the plum part of Edna Turnblad, a.k.a. the Harvey Fierstein role, recently taken on by that fine comic actor, Michael McKean. Valanche has been playing Edna on the road for a while, so he should be ready for Broadway. Though, of course, neither he nor McKean nor Fierstein will ever erase the memory of the original Edna the Divine Divine. And it has been Divine bringing you this edition of Inside Broadway, courtesy of Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider. In the weeks ahead, Golda's birthday, a wicked anniversary, and Mary Louise Parker Gets Reckless, all on Inside Broadway.
We've just been Inside Broadway with Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider.
Hey, this is Dave, and I'd like to tell you about some radio shows on AM 1240 at WGBB. Well, what do you hear on GBB? What do you hear when you're not hearing me? You hear Mike Shinnery play very smooth jazz. Tuesdays at 9, you can dig what he has. Tuesdays at 6 on GBB Tonighters. Hear Larry Davidson interview writers. Everyone, can't you see that it's fun and it's free on AM 1240 GBB? And what do you hear on the weekend airwaves? What do you hear when you're not hearing Dave? You hear Bobby D. Graham host Long Island Dating. Fridays at 6 for advice about mating. Redman on Saturdays and rock is his mission. Tune in 7:30 for fresh new musicians. After that, Mikey and Jimmy at 9. Humor that straddles the FCC line. And if you're a conservative, you're not alone. Cause Sundays at 7, you got Joe Salzone in the turn it on, if you're there, on AM 1240, on Thursday the 7th, it's me, thank you.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By and the continuation of my interview with the great Tom Paxton. Where last we left off, we were talking about the early years and then him signing a record deal with Elektra. He released 7 albums for them, including the beginning ones, which were just basically guitar and some banjo and a little bit of bass, and then progressively they added more instruments and got a little more ambitious and a little more varied in the style of song that he was doing, and also, of course, the music scene was changing around him, going from folk into rock and roll. So I wanted to pursue that subject of the changing sound of his music and the music around him. In recent years, you've gone back to a much more simple folk sound, but it was opening up towards the mid-60s, at least on the albums, if not in concert, and I was wondering if again, that pop influence came in just so that you could hear different colorations and different instruments.
Well,
on
you
songs.
Know what I like? I love working with Jim Rooney. Jim produced the album I did in 95, I think, called Wearing the Time, and then produced the live album called Live for the Record, which we did here in Alexandria at the Birchmere. And then he produced Looking for the Moon, the newest studio album, which got nominated for a Grammy. So all of those albums were done very simply but very fully. I mean, we always had magnificent players, guitar, dobro, fiddle, mandolin, and bass. And you can get a lot of color from those combinations. And I also like the one that I did with Ann Hills. Ann co-produced that, and that has a lovely sound to it as well.
I'm curious. You have been doing a lot of work with Ann Hills for a bit. Is she a singer in her own right? I had not heard of her except for your albums.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to get some of her albums. As you could hear on the album we did together, she's one of the best singers in folk music.
And she came from a folk or a country background?
No, folk.
Okay.
Actually, jazz way back, but folk.
Mm-hmm.
She knows a lot of country stuff, plays banjo, guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And the Appleseed album called Best of Friends, which came out not that long ago. Yeah, it's an album of a concert that Ann and the late Bob Gibson and I did in Chicago in 1985. We had a group for a couple of years called Best of Friends, and she's on that, and I just think she's one of the best singers there is, and a great writer, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming in the summer, you'd be better to split off on 35. There's the Starlight Drive-In movie on your left, just beyond the county line. Right after that, you'll see two silos. One is silver, one is blue. About a quarter mile further, make a left on the Highway 42. Then follow that road.
Follow that road.
Cornfields as far as you can see.
Far as you can see.
Follow that road. Back through time, back through distance, back to me. If you're driving by in autumn, you should follow up the river to Bear Lake. That's the time to see the colors, and there's an old covered bridge you'll want to take. Late at night, be careful. Just be sure to watch for deer out on the road. And if it's early in the morning, sometimes it gets foggy, take it slow. But follow that road.
Follow that road.
Sugar maples far as you can see.
Far as you.
Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me.
Back to me.
If you get the notion in December to drop by for just the day, there's that tiny little road that no one knows about. It's safe to go that way. It's up between two fields, so the sunlight melts the ice by afternoon. You'll see two houses by the fields. Someone's always there. If not, they'll be back soon. Just follow that road.
Follow that road.
Snow is just as far as you can see. That road, back through time, back through distance, back to me.
Back to me.
You'll remember in the springtime how the puddles looked like pieces of the sky. Falling down by the roadside to delight any stranger passing by. The softness of the grass on Raven Hill, where we counted stars all night. You must know how much I miss you, and that any way you get here is all right. Just follow that road.
Follow that road.
Wildflowers just as far as you can see.
Far as you.
Follow that road, back through time, back through distance, back to me.
Back to me.
Just follow that road.
Follow that road.
Follow that road. Follow that road.
Hi, everybody. This is Tom Paxton, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
I want to play sort of, I want to say a game, but since we're talking about other people, I would love to hear your thoughts on the careers
okay.
and songs of some other folks, such as, let's see, we'll start with Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, I haven't heard enough of. I mean, he's kind of under my radar. But what I have heard, I think, is really wonderful. You can always tell a great writer when you hear a song and you can't imagine anyone else having written it.
Mm, yeah, that would be him.
So no, I think he's a very top type of songwriter.
Neil Young.
Neil Young, I like his simplicity. I don't listen much to folk rock or anything like that, but I've never heard anything of his that I didn't like.
Tracy Chapman.
I thought she was terrific, but it really bothered me very, very much that she set about very consciously distancing herself from the folk music community. As soon as she had a hit, she began, you know, poo-poo. She was not calling herself folk or anything. But, I mean, she came up through the folk coffee houses and stuff like that. Bothered me, you know. And now and then, you know, interviewers ask me, you know, they say, you know, what do we call you, a singer-songwriter? I said, no, call me a folk singer. I mean, that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was, and bothered me. But the talent is magnificent.
And what about someone I think who may have stayed a little close? Well, no, not really. She's kind of branched out. But Suzanne Vega.
Oh, wonderful. The vision, the imagination, the artistic courage. I think she's absolutely tops.
Okay, here's kind of a curveball. The Beatles.
Oh, nobody better.
Because why?
Range. I mean, you hear them, you know, when the Beatles wanted to rock and roll, there was no doubt about it. I mean, they were a hell of a rock and roll band. And then they just kept growing and growing and growing. And their lyrics kept getting deeper. And I mean, I hear something like Eleanor Rigby, and that's so well crafted. And I use yesterday at a model when I'm teaching songwriting of here is a perfect pop song, which is AABA form. You can't get any better than this. This is it.
And it could be a folk song, too, technically.
Yeah. I'm Rocky Raccoon.
All right. Yeah, I like Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
I don't like Bob as much as I used to. I know this is the kind of thing that we hate to hear when we say it, but I prefer his earlier stuff. I thought that Bob got, you know, pretty caught up in the messianic.
Well, that's already about almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you Time Out of Mind and some of the more, I mean, he went back and did two folk albums.
Yes, he's a beautiful writer, and I also have a lot of respect for his commitment to making music. I mean, he's still out there touring. And, so, you know, I have a lot of respect for Bob. It's just that I haven't felt close to him for a long time.
Well, at a certain point, I mean, not to dwell on it, but you were coming up through the right. Do you have any anecdotes? You must have spoken to him or been on a couple of bills with him or something in the early, or no?
Or me?
Yeah.
Oh, we knew each other. I mean, we were very friendly for a long time. And then, you know, he moved away, I moved away. You know, he did his thing, I did my thing. So I never saw him. I haven't seen him in at least 10 years.
Oh, well, but in the early, I was thinking more in terms of the early 1960s when.
Oh, yeah, we were perfectly friendly. And we even made up a song one day when we were walking from the village up to 48th Street. He needed to get a harmonica rack or something like that. So we started making up a very politically incorrect talking blues about Central Park Mugger.
Oh, my gosh.
And we got through about, you know, six verses or something of it, and neither of us ever wrote it down or anything.
And you don't, do you remember anything, a line under title?
Oh, it was a takeoff on the Talking Union Blues.
Right.
So, I mean, it was, the first verse was pure, just change of word. It was, you want to be a mugger, tell you what to do, you go to Central Park and you pay your dues. And I can't remember anything more about it. It was goofy and, you know, we were killing ourselves laughing at our own wit and everything, but believe me, it died a merciful death.
Let me ask you, getting away from specific people for a moment. I talked to Neil Sedaka on this program a couple of weeks ago. Another great writer in a different vein.
Very different vein and an absolutely top-to-bottom professional.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't listen to pop music because I only have a certain amount of time where I can listen to anything, so I choose to listen to folk and classic. But I have a lot of respect for people like Neil Sedaka, and a lot of my friends down in Nashville are, you know, absolute hired gun songwriters. They write for the market, and they succeed, and you know, they make a lot more money than I do, and they have a lot of fun. And I cannot do that. I mean, I even tried a couple times to write the way they do, and I can't. But someone like Neil Sedaka, at the Grammys this year, I met Carol King, which was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow.
To meet her. She was getting a Lifetime Achievement Award with her husband, or her ex-husband and writing partner. And I just think that kind of songwriting is so, you know, it's terrific. I mean, they write songs like, you know, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? You know, those songs will always be sung. Just the way, you know, folk songs would be sung. They are their own kind of urban folk songs.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Actually, the reason I brought him up was one of the questions I asked him was about, and he was very honest and interesting in his answer, about he was one of the hottest singer-songwriters, hit makers in America for a couple of years, the whole Brill Building thing.
Yeah.
And then along came the Beatles, and along came the Rolling Stones and the West Coast Sound, and suddenly he found himself, like, the whole jug. He was on top of the mountain, and very quickly they took the rest of the mountain away.
Yeah.
And what do you do, you know, when you have this hot career, and then you've still got to go on with your English, a young man still.
Yeah.
So how did that, not to say that it quite happened in the same way for you, but there you were in the heat of the 1960s, the protest movement, the Vietnam movement, and then 1970 kicked in, and you did the 7 albums for Elektra, and then perhaps America wasn't as interested. You know, it moved towards a different kind of singer-songwriting, like James Taylor.
Yeah.
So what did you do? I mean, did you feel it?
Well,
did you really?
If you're me or a bunch of my friends, you ignore that and you just keep doing what you do. And, I mean, we always found there was enough of an audience there for us to continue to perform and record. And you know, as long as you didn't have any illusions about selling a million records or anything like that. You taught Phillips very well. He says, you know, you can't get rich in folk music, but you can make a living.
Did you ever meet Woody Guthrie? Did you ever make the pilgrimage?
No,
because we're in Jersey.
I grew up 26 miles from his birthplace of Okemah. I lived in a little town in Oklahoma called Bristow.
Mm-hmm.
And I started hearing his songs when I went to the University of Oklahoma. I never knew him while I still lived in was high school or anything like that. And when I came to New York, Woody was already in the hospital, had been in the hospital for some time, and was never going to come out. So once, when Bob first came to New York, I guess it was in 61, he asked me one day if I wanted to go with him to see Woody, because he was going pretty regularly. And I said, no, I just would feel bad about having him have to, you know, have another person see him in that kind of condition. So I passed on it. I've never really regretted that.
He wasn't probably what he had been 20 years earlier.
No, he was
wasn't
in terrible shape.
Yeah.
You know, he had no control over his limb. That's it.
Years
later, I did a public service television thing for the Huntington's Korea Foundation of our association in Massachusetts, and we did it at the hospital with some of the patients, you know, and it was hard to take. It was hard to take. It's a nasty, nasty disease.
Right, and I think Arlo dodged the bullet, and he was worried about getting, because he had like a
50-50
shot.
there's some kind of a window that, you know, after a certain age, if you haven't got it, you're not going to get it.
And he's made it through that.
Yeah, he's made it through that window. I mean, for years there, when he got a cold, we all just, you know, panicked. But,
Actually, one thing I didn't even ask you yet is, I mean, I asked you about a whole bunch of musical people that I thought are interesting. Who were the folks that you were listening to when you first started to be a songwriter, and who were your influences?
Well, the first one was Burl Ives. I could actually get a hold of some of his recordings, and I loved him. I mean, I started out by learning things like The Blue Tail Fly, you know, and The Streets of Laredo, and, you know, the right down the middle of the road kind of homogenized folk songs, you might call them, but I still like those songs a lot.
Sure.
Go Tell Aunt Rhody, you know, things like that.
When I was young, I used to wait on Master and give him his plate and pass the bottle when he got dry and brush away the blue tail fly. Jimmy crack corn, I don't care. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. My master's gone away. And when he'd ride in the afternoon, I'd follow after with a hickory broom, the pony being rather shy. When bitten by a blue tail fly, Jimmy crack corn, I don't care. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn, and I don't care. My master's gone away.
And then when I got to college, I started hearing Woody and Pete, and then an Ed McCurdy, who was one of my favorites, who recorded for Elektra.
Wow.
Then one day I was over at my friend's house. We had a little folk imitation Kingston trio of our own. And he put on an album and said, listen to this. And it turned out to be The Weavers at Carnegie Hall. That was recorded Christmas Eve, 1956.
That must have been mind-blowing.
And, well, it did. I mean, I subsequently had a chance to tell each one of the Weavers, you know, thank you for spoiling my life. because by the end of that side B of that LP, I had undergone a chromosomal change. And I had gone from someone who loved this stuff to someone who had to do it. It was a tremendous. I'm not the only one. I mean, Peter Yarrow told me he was actually at that concert, and it had the same effect on him.
Miss me when I'm gone.
Oh, well, the rock on in line, it is the mighty control. Oh, well, the rock on in line, it is the road to ride. The rock on in line, it is the mighty control. Well, if you want to ride, you got to ride it like you find it. Your certificate of station for the rock on in line.
A, B, C, double X, Y, D.
The cat's in the corner, but he can't dig me.
Oh, well, the rock on in line, it is the mighty control. Oh, well, the rock on in line, it is the road.
A lot of the people of my age, my musical generation, found that album to be one of the most influential albums they ever heard.
The spirit of it, of most of the Weavers albums, but especially a couple of those live ones,
yeah,
was extraordinary.
Not only that, the range of it. I mean, it goes from a children's song, Hush Little Baby Don't Say a Word, to a love song like Kisses Sweeter Than Wine, raucous, you know, When the Saints Go Marching In, songs from the Spanish Civil War, an Indonesian lullaby. Good grief. I mean, it was one amazing song after another.
Sponsor me, Dave's Don't Buy. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.com or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise, on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
I'd like to propose a toast.
Big deal. I'd like to propose a toasty, a tasty, toasty sub sandwich from Quiznos, like spicy Monterey Club, mesquite chicken, or smoked turkey on rosemary parmesan bread, all made with quality ingredients like freshly sliced premium meats, crisp vegetables, and rich melted cheeses. And the bread, oven-toasted artisan bread the old-fashioned way.
I'll make that.
At Quiznos, you can sip a soft drink or one of their flavorful hearty soups. They've also got desserts and snacks, or you can keep an eye on carbs with toasty flatbreads and fresh, craveable salads like Roadhouse Ranch and Ying Yang Chicken.
Aren't they the best?
They sure are. Quiznos, now with a new store in Hewlett, Long Island, 1320 Broadway. Mention Dave's Gone By and get 10% off your meal. I'll drink to that.
Everybody rise! 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 Rise!
Almost time to leave the neighborhood on this Thursday, September 30th, but some notes and reminders and thank yous first. First of all, I want to encourage you to visit Crimes of the Heart, the season opener at Off-Broadway's T. Schreiber Studio. Beth Henley's Tony-nominated Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy is all about a trio of loopy Southern sisters, and they gather together in times of crisis. If you've only seen the movie, you owe it to yourselves to give the play a try. Crimes of the Heart opens tonight and runs through October 24th at T. Schreiber Studio, 151 West 26th Street, 212-352-3101 for tickets, 352-3101. The founder of T. Schreiber Studio, Terry Schreiber, was my guest on Dave's Gone By back in January, so I'm extra happy to give him a plug and bring my listeners to his theater. And speaking of theater, don't forget that you can get 10% off a subscription to Performing Arts Insider just by mentioning Dave's Gone By. Visit TotalTheater.com for details, and visit DavesGoneBy.com for links to our other two terrific sponsors who also offer the 10% deal. Quiznos of Hewlett, tasty soups and sandwiches and snacks, and right across the street, Hewlett Minuteman Press for all your printing, binding, copying, laminating, and Mexican hat unblocking needs. And if your needs include listening to fun radio, keep your dial at WGBB all week long for several other cool programs on this station. For example, Mike Shamari, Light Jazz on the Instrumental Invasion, Tuesday nights at 9, and that is moving, by the way, in 2 weeks to directly follow this show on Thursdays at 8, so I welcome Michael to the Thursday lineup here in 2 weeks. Also, giving a plug to Joyce Keller, radio psychic and basic feel-good advisor, taking your phone calls since 1987. Probably the biggest name we have here on the station, Joyce Keller, Wednesday nights at 11. WGBB Tonight with Larry Davidson, Thursdays at 6. Long Island's Dating with comedian Bonnie D. Graham, Fridays at 6. And then the weekends, the Mr. Redman Music Show, unsigned Long Island bands playing their stuff and yakking with the Redman, Saturdays, 7:30 to 9, followed by Mikey and Jimmy, off-the-wall young comedy, Saturdays at 9, and finish your weekend with the one and only Joe Salzone, talking politics on your world, Sunday nights at 7. And you can also hear Joe on Monday evenings doing special election coverage now through November 4th. So tune in for that as well. And stay tuned, please, for the next hour, where once again I go into my all-music mode with an extra 60 minutes, not of Dave's Gone By, but just Dave, playing a musical salute to such birthday celebrants as Lindsey Buckingham, Johnny Mathis, and Don McLean. Well, thank you, engineer Tom Ross, for the use of the hall. Thank you, Joyce Weil, for being my wonderful, wonderful wife. And thank you, St. Francis Hospital,
for getting my Auntie Esther better so quick. And happy anniversary to my in-laws, Larry and Rosemary Weil. Thanks to the folks at Appleseed Records and Tom Paxton's management for setting up my interview with the marvelous T, and to Mr. T himself, Tom Paxton, for his time, his humor, and 41 years and counting of smart, funny, pretty, wise, and gentle songs. There's still more interview left from our chat, which I promise to bring you in the weeks ahead. If anybody's worth a part three, it's Tom P. So listen for that, probably not next week. I should have another special guest on the program then. Whom, you ask? Find out next Thursday, October 7th, on the 96th edition of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Happy Jewish holidays. Never give a sukkah an even break. And gone by.
Outward bound, upon a ship that sails no ocean, outward bound. It has no crew but me and you, all alone. When just a minute ago the shore was filled with people, with people that we knew. Outward bound, upon a journey without ending, outward bound. Uncharted waters beneath our bow, far behind. The green familiar shore is fading into time, and time has left us now. So farewell, adieu, so long, life and Dios. May they find whatever they are looking for. Remember when the wine was better than ever again. We could not ask, we could not ask for more. Outward bound, upon a ship with tattered sail. Outward bound, along a crooked, lonesome trail. Things we learned, we'll just be satisfied in knowing, and we'll tell it to our kids as a fairy tale. So farewell, adieu, so long, via con Dios. May they find whatever they are looking for. Remember when the wine was better than ever again. We could not ask, we could not ask for more. We could not ask, we could not ask for more.